Hello, welcome back to another episode of New Every Day. My name is Carrie.
And my name is Jen. And on today's show, we're going to learn how to catch more than just a sunfish.
And that's good news.
And that's good news because you're not going to eat very much with just a sunfish. It's true.
It's true.
You've got mad skills, now hone them. Learn new skills or improve your existing ones with online video tutorials and training from lynda.com through our special link at cat5.tv/lynda. Learn software, technology, creative and business skills you can use today to help you achieve your professional goals. Join today and start learning. We'll give you this chance to try it absolutely free with unlimited access to all of the courses. Sign up now for free, cat5.tv/lynda.
Welcome back. If you have not been tuning in, we have been talking about Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, where Jesus says, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." So we've talked about a number of different aspects of that verse. First, when Jesus says, "Come," he's including everyone. He's including Muslims, he's including atheists, whoever, friends, family, everyone is welcome to the kingdom of God.
Right.
And then what are some of the other things that we talked about too, Jen?
So the fact that he invites everyone to come and have a relationship, no matter what the background. Mm-hmm. And then the fact that he says he equips you.
Right.
He's the one that if he calls you, he equips you. He believes that you really can follow him. And that whole idea of following means giving up. And for some of our Christian brothers and sisters who have grown up in the Muslim faith, they've had to give up
family,
everything.
And some have given up their lives. Yeah.
Yes.
So we talked about the cost of following him. And then we talked about just methods of using bait. So the bait of a transformed life. When Christ comes into our lives, he not only are our sins forgiven, but we have the Holy Spirit then living in us. And he amazingly teaches us how to be more loving, how to respond to your spouse when they are upset with you, how to deal with your friends at work. How he transforms us. And so that transformed life is a means of drawing people in to a new life with Christ. If you're looking for just examples of how people have engaged in conversation with people who don't believe, I really recommend the book Unexpected Adventures by Lee Strobel. And he writes it with a friend of his. But if you go to Amazon, go to our website, neweveryday.tv, click on our partners page and go to Amazon, and you can find the book Unexpected Adventures there. It's excellent. They talk about just random things because they pray and say, "God, please help me to share the love of Christ with someone today." And it's totally unexpected. So he talks about chatting with a waitress at a restaurant and how he's able to use his past and experiences that have already happened to him to engage in conversation. So just different aspects of their life that God has already used, he's able to share. So it's really good, very funny. If you want to check it out, I highly recommend it.
Right. And we had talked about that whole idea of pools, knowing. We said if you want to catch a certain type of fish, then you need to go to wherever those fish are. I'm only going to catch sunfish if I'm standing on the dock. But like you said, if you want to catch a bigger fish, or if you want to catch, my background would be, I guess, pike, then you get the boat out into the middle of the lake. You put, you know, and you put the waders on it so it goes down deep so it can catch the big pike. But you have to actually go out. Like, I'm not going to catch a pike standing on the shore. I actually have to get in the boat and go out. So knowing what pools do you have access to? So that whole idea that your family is a pool. If they don't know Jesus, then they are a pool. Those are people that
in your sphere of influence.
In your sphere of influence. So your family, your work, your neighbors also is another. Like, if your home is in a subdivision that has people around it that don't know Jesus, then they're also part of your sphere of influence. So these are all people that Christ has called us to share the good news with. And you mentioned last week that you might just be a seed planter or a waterer, or you might actually be a harvester and lead someone to Christ. And I remember my Sunday, she was a Sunday school teacher, but she taught vacation Bible school in her backyard. And she would put
In her backyard.
She would put a blanket out on her backyard, and she would get flannel graph, and she would invite all the community kids to come. And she would tell the story with this flannel graph buddy, and, you know, ask kids if they wanted to give their heart to Christ afterwards. And she'd have
That's
cookies
so
and juice. A friend of mine who lives, you know what, I'm not sure if they're still living in Hamilton or not, but anyways, their mindset is to have an open home. So, you know, the basketball hoop's outside, the games are downstairs, there's always food available, and the kids are told, no, you play with the kids in the community, you bring them in, we will feed them, right? And they have basically started almost like a sports program in their own community. Other friends of ours, their kids go to their local school, they walk to it, and every, you know, they started saying, oh, well, we're going to church tonight for a kids club, do you want to come? And they're like, okay. And so now this family walks 17 kids from their community, 17 of the kids' neighbors, you know, friends, to church like twice a week. They walk them. And you're just like,
it's great.
It's like, that is so cool, because that is their sphere of influence. They simply said, okay, God, you have called us to be fishers of men. Now, how do
we do it?
Because we can get so caught up in the fear of, well, how am I going to do this?
How do I package the gospel?
How do I package the gospel? When really it is, and we've said this so many times, it really comes out of, are you spending time with the Lord? Are you praying? Are you reading your Bible? And are you loving well? Because that will eventually, if you are genuinely asking the Lord to provide opportunities, He will. And then you're like, where are the words going to come from? Well, the words are going to come from your relationship.
From His Word.
Yes, and through the Spirit who takes them. Because it says, you know, be ready at any point to give testimony to the work that's going on inside of you. And not to be afraid, because the Spirit is going to be with you and give you the words that you need. Which I love. So He plants us in places. He puts people around us who we're supposed to be building relationships with. Anyways, even the most introverted of people need to build relationships. And then Jesus is like, and I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you share my love with people, which is just like, yay, God.
Let me tell you about an amazing friend that I have. He's a Christian from India, and he is actually living with Hindu friends. And so he's an Indian Christian, came to Canada, but he's witnessing to Hindu friends because they have the same shared language and background from India. So even though he's in Canada, he's witnessing to Hindu Indians. And it's just awesome, because they're within his sphere of influence and God is using him in amazing ways.
Yes.
And part of that witness is his transformed life in Christ. So it's awesome. One thing I've just really been thinking about this week is how it's hard to really, it's hard to love someone without fully seeing them as God sees them. For one, that their value is not in how they look or who they hang out with, but it's in the fact that God made them and loved them and died for them. But it's also helpful to try and understand them and their world. And that's why I really enjoyed reading this book that I mentioned before, Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus by Nabil Qureshi. He was a Muslim who converted to Christianity. And just in the beginning of the book, he talks about his life growing up as a Muslim boy. And it gave me such insight into Islam, but also like the beauty of family that they have, and that there's a lot of close relationships there. And I didn't understand sometimes why they would fast and pray, because I don't share the same faith. But it really gave me good insight into those things. And I went and I had some supper with a friend of mine who lives with some Muslim family members. And it was great. Like, I was able to talk to her about some of the things that I learned in the book. And it was just a really good opportunity to use what God had taught me about a different culture. So it helped me love better, you know?
Yeah. And one of the things about fishing is it takes patience. And as I talked to my one of my fisherman friends last night, I said, "Luke, tell me about fishing." And he said, "Well, you need to know who you're catching. You need to know what you're catching. You need bait." And he's like, "You need to go to place where they are." But then he's like, "And then you have to have patience."
Right. It takes a while.
Like, you don't just like drop it in and like whoop. Now sometimes that does happen, which is so cool. And often, you know, with new believers who are starting to share their faith, sometimes they, I want to say they get those quick bites where, you know, because they're so excited about what Christ is doing and there's been a life change. Then people just immediately start, I want to say, biting, coming to know Christ, and their lives are changed. But that doesn't always happen. And sometimes it can feel like you have been waiting a long time.
Like ice fishing.
You're bundled. Okay. For those of you from warmer parts of the world, in the winter, Canada, for about 5 months, is covered in snow and ice.
Most of Canada.
Southern Ontario, Vancouver, not so much. But everywhere else, lots of ice. So we go ice fishing.
Well, we don't.
We don't. But you get bundled up in big parkas. There's a hut, but for many there isn't. And they just drill a hole and you put the thing down and you sit and you wait. There's no casting. You might, you know, jig it up and down, but you are waiting
to see if they go and bite.
Yeah. And you have to be patient. You can't move it up and down all the time. Like, there's a certain rhythm to it.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, well, we're both, why would anyone?
Why would I do that? And I got impatient, and I'm moving, and I lost my bait.
Interesting.
Anyway, but, yeah, it's a process, right? And Jesus talks about the parable of the sower. So, this is in Mark chapter 4. Okay, so, he says, he's teaching them about the kingdom of God. Verse 3, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100." So he goes on to explain this parable to his disciples. And he said, the sower sows the word of God. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones on stony ground who, when they heard the word, immediately received it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a short time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So the word of God is planted in people's hearts, and sometimes it takes time, and sometimes we don't always see the result.
Right. And that's the whole, like, we have to learn to be patient. Mm-hmm. If we are doing what God has called us to do in, you know, walking with Him, sharing about Him, then we actually have to let Him bring forth the harvest. And we're basically supposed to wait. We cannot make people believe as much as we might want to. But don't you understand, right? We can get very like, come on, come on. And that actually can be quite offensive to some people.
But you're going to hell.
I know. And it's like, And so that concept of being patient and waiting is so important. Like, we sow the seeds with love and care.
Yeah.
We live a life of faith, faithfully. And then we're just like, okay, Lord, in these circles of influence we have, help me to show your love to them. Mm-hmm. And you bring forth, you bring forth the harvest. And so I know for some of you out there today, you're really struggling because you've been praying for your family members. You've been praying for friends. You've been praying for people at work. You've been doing, I want to say, the work.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to encourage you just to hold on, to keep moving forward, and to trust that in time, God will bring the harvest.
And He'll open a door. And sometimes that door is opened as you get to know other people.
Yes.
So I encourage you to read Acts chapter 17, where Paul actually goes, he's in Athens, and he addresses the Areopagus. So I encourage you to read it from chapter 22 on. And it's very interesting. He takes in the surroundings mm-hmm. and understands the culture and then uses that as a starting point to share the gospel.
Yes.
And he even uses some of their own poets. So he's familiar with their culture, what they believed, and used some of that information to share.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, so he's sharing the gospel, the good news that Jesus rose from the dead, some mocked, while others said, "We will hear you again on this subject." But other people took off, too, right? So not everybody's going to buy on, but some will say, you know what? I might hear you again on this.
Yeah. And so it's like, just keep at it. Like, keep at it. And who knows? I often pray for families who are struggling with kids or other siblings that don't know the Lord yet. Mm-hmm. Well, let's pray for a Christian friend to come into their life.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because sometimes they've heard it from you for so long that it's just like, wah, wah, wah. And it's like, okay, they need a fresh perspective. Someone new who's living and loving God, living life and loving God. And all of a sudden they go, oh, maybe there's some truth to that.
Yeah.
And so we're gonna pray, and we're going to say, we're just going to ask the Lord to help us to be fishers of men.
All right, Jen, thanks.
Lord God, thank you so much that you call us, you equip us, you believe in us. And Lord, you want us to tell people about you. You want us to be fishers of men. And that can just be so daunting and also very frustrating for those who have been praying for family members and friends and co-workers to come to know you. And so, Father, I ask that you would encourage our viewers today who are struggling with fear, first of all, for sharing their faith or just afraid of sharing. And Lord, would you give them boldness? And Lord, for those who are patiently waiting, Lord God, I ask that you would encourage them today. I ask for godly friends to come into their loved ones' lives that will tell their loved ones about you. And Lord, for those that are listening today that do not know you, I ask that you would minister to their hearts today. If you're listening today and you don't know Jesus, Jesus knows you. And so we invite you to spend some time with the Lord today, just simply saying, Lord, I've been hearing a lot about you, and I want to learn more. Would you help me learn more about you? I'm ready to have a relationship with you. And so if that's you today and you don't know where to turn or what to do, maybe you don't have a clue about church or being a Christian. If you know a Christian, just go to them today and say, I prayed a prayer about wanting to know Jesus more. Would you help me learn about Jesus more? And if you're not in a place, if you're in somewhere in the world right now where church is just a big no-no, and for some way we got sucked in under the wire, yay God, and you're like, that is the life that I want, then I pray that you would grow in your faith. And if somehow that you can get, you know, a message out to us, then we would love to to talk with you. But God does love you, and God does have a plan for your life, and He wants to be in relationship with you. So we encourage you to take that step of faith today. And so...
So send us a message on Facebook.
Yes.
Join our Facebook page and send us a message there. We'd be really happy to hear from you.
Yeah.
So thanks for tuning in, and we hope that you will tune in again next week for another episode of New Every Day. We're just so happy to be able to share with you and chat and learn, and we just look forward to another week. So have an awesome week.
Have a great week.
Ciao.